I'm Aaron Schachter, and this is The World. Change is coming fast in the country long known as Burma, now officially Myanmar, but it's not fast enough for many ordinary Burmese. They welcome the relaxed political environment and the chance to talk freely about their pro-democracy heroine, Aung San Suu Kyi, but they want a freer and fairer economy, one without the hassle of working around U.S. and European sanctions that still exist. The World's Mary Kay Magstad met with a pair of aspiring businessmen in the capital, Yangon.
In an open-air tea shop, 27-year-old Burmese-American Richard So explains why he left Austin, Texas, to come to Myanmar.
Because I wanted to make money. I don't want to work day for day. Living in America, I feel that working one day, eating one day. You know what I mean? If I live here, I could become somebody here. In America, I'd just be living day by day.
In Texas, So says, he was often mistaken for Mexican. Few people knew what Burma was. Now that he's here, he's learned Burmese, started going by his Burmese name, Thant Xin So, and says he feels more at home here than he did in the United States.
I like it here. I like it here. Everything, even though it's not a free country, you can do everything freely. For instance, you can walk down the street late at night here, and you won't get harassed. Like, I've seen some people drunk here, and they can't walk, and strangers ask them where they live and escort them home. Over there, if you're drunk like that, someone's going to rob you or police going to take you to jail.
Myanmar was even less a free country when Richard So arrived here in October 2007. It was just weeks after troops opened fire on pro-democracy demonstrators.
They don't talk about it here. They're afraid to talk about it here.
Do you think people are still afraid now?
I think so. Here it's not free. You can't say whatever you want.
But that's changing. Burmese say openly now what they might not have whispered a year ago. Joining us at our low wooden table in the tea shop is 32-year-old Kone Min. He was born and raised in Burma, and he shows no fear in telling me he was a flag-waving protester in 2007. He recounts the moment when troops opened fire, when he saw other protesters around him drop, and he took a bullet in the back. He pulls back his shirt to show me the scar.
I run. When they heard the gunshots, and he just said he took off running.
Back then, Kone Min says, he fled to Thailand for 3 months to avoid arrest. Now he thinks things are going as they should have long ago, and he can focus on business. He and Richard So have been trying to start a company importing South Korean cars and buses to feed Myanmar's growing appetite for vehicles.
We have to have the connections. I didn't know him then, and I didn't speak Burmese, so it's not easy. But when I met him, then he's got a lot of connections here.
Those connections have helped the two young business partners figure out how to work around U.S. and European sanctions, which make it hard to get lines of credit or do international banking.
Myanmar government officials are doing business with us. They have also a company in Singapore. They will start everything for importing cars.
How it works is that So, Ko, and their Korean colleague are responsible for exporting the vehicles from South Korea to Singapore, and the company run by the Burmese government officials picks it up from there, importing it to Myanmar. Aside from the irony of doing business with officials from the same government that put a bullet in your back, the guys have found that the Burmese officials in Singapore haven't been all that reliable as business partners.
Our boss is no good. Kadima Dewi. They don't keep their word. You know, customers, buyers, they always change their mind. First it's 60 buses, then it's 20, then it's 10.
They've sold 10 buses to government departments so far, with 10 more on the way. Once the U.S. lifts sanctions, allowing the use of credit cards, international banking, and telecommunications in Burma, So and Co. hope to cut out the Singapore connection and have their own vehicle import business in Myanmar. They may have to wait a while. U.S. relations with Myanmar are improving since Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's visit in December, but Burmese historian Thant Mien Thu says lifting sanctions is not like flipping a switch.
The tone of relations is different. Washington now says it will raise relations or diplomatic relations to ambassador level. It's rolled back a couple of very small sanctions, but there's still a whole set of interconnected laws on the books that restrict economic relations between Myanmar and the U.S., which essentially means it restricts economic relations between Myanmar and global markets in general. And this is going to take a long time to undo. It's going to require action from Congress.
Meanwhile, Myanmar's reforms have raised expectations of more foreign investment coming in, which has in some cases tripled or quadrupled rents and driven up inflation. Kone Min says political reform and new foreign investment is all well and good, but the government should be doing more about the fact that a lot of people are finding it hard to make ends meet.
He says a lot of people living on the streets and begging and have no food. The government is just ignoring it, acting like they don't see it. It's not happening.
Kone Min hopes the current political reforms bring not just more democracy, but a better deal for ordinary Burmese. For one thing, the government could drop the requirement to pay $10,000 for a permit that gives you the right to buy a car. That would give Ko and So more potential customers for their imports. It would also make Ko feel the risks he and others took protesting on the streets 4 years ago helped, in some small way, steer his country in the right direction. For The World, I'm Mary Kay Magstad, Yangon, Myanmar.